Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Dr. Ncube, dumela rra.
Riteng le kae ntate?
Yeah, no, lerna riteng mo rudi dokotela. I cannot complain at all. I hope that you're doing well.
I am trying to be fine. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you. Thank you so much. Now, we're going to be talking about church growth versus health. And a healthy organization is characterized by strong leadership, cohesive culture, efficient processes, and engaged employees, all contributing to a sustained performance and success. Now, in the context of a church, can the two exist independently? Is the success of a church measured by its members? This is what we're going to be talking about. Now, Doc, how does an organization really measure success?
No, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Zama. Probably we need to distinguish the type of organizations we're talking about. And if we're going to limit it to a church, I think it's important to appreciate that the church is at two levels. There's the institution that governs a family or a sisterhood of congregations. That's a bureaucracy. It has got offices, departments, and employees. Then there's your congregation, which is primarily made up of volunteers, people who gather to fellowship, to share the word. So the first one, it's easy for us to come up with quantitative metrics, like how much are we growing financially? How much are we growing in numbers? How efficient are we? What impact are we making around us? ETC. So the efficiency behind our processes then become somehow a benchmark to what we call healthy. But then when we look at the congregation, it then becomes different, because that unit is established to transform people, to make a difference, to add value to people as individuals, and to build a family. So its health is not necessarily so much in the processes, but in the difference that it is making, transforming people's lives, in this case, for the kingdom of God. But we need to appreciate something. An organization that is growing is not necessarily healthy, but a healthy organization is most likely to be growing. So I think that distinction is important to keep in mind, because sometimes when we see the numbers, when we see all the external processes, we think we are healthy when we are just but bloated, overweight, overfed. But then when you look inside in the core, then you find that we are inefficient. The people in among the members are disconnected from each other. They don't feel they belong as much as they still associate with the organization. I've thrown in a lot of things there. Over to you.
Of course, you did. Now, let's talk about the church context. Of course, you spoke about a different organization. Does the growth of the church in terms of membership automatically mean the health and success of a particular church?
As I mentioned, I think earlier, that growth in numbers is an easy way to simply associate with health. But I think for a church, the health of a church is not necessarily tied to the numbers, because it's a community, it's a family where people have been drawn from different vocations and lifestyles and persuasions. So they are coming there to belong. So it's about how they are loved in and through their failures, how they feel they contribute, their head, how they feel that the ownership, you know, the ownership of a process. Remember, Zama, these people are not getting any salary.
Yeah, yeah.
They are not getting any incentive.
Mm-hmm.
They are just coming out of their goodwill. And that goodwill, that makes them go back to the next weekend and the other weekend and the other weekend, probably gives us an indicator of how healthy a church is.
Could it be a matter of health or just maybe a commitment, or could commitment and the health of a church be synonymous?
What drives commitment?
Mm.
That's what drives commitment and what sustains it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tend to look at church as a family.
Yeah.
That not all days are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think you sometimes go to church and it's just heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But you are there, you know, and you look forward to coming back the next weekend. And you ask yourself, was it because the sermon was powerful? Was it because the music was beautiful? Was it because everything was efficiently organized? You know, probably it's much more than that. It's the belonging that keeps you going.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, you might have your differences in that place, but what makes you go there, I think it's because you've identified this particular entity as family, as core to your existence. Then you are committed to it. And that commitment is what sustained you. Like right now, if you look at church is not perfect. We offend each other. Sometimes we're disappointed with our leadership. But we keep going. We keep going, you know. So that alone, that commitment alone, I think is fueled by the fact that church is an extension of our family that makes us feel that we belong somewhere. Different from your employer.
Yeah. Beautiful. Now, the state of an unhealthy church, can that still effect a positive growth that is in numbers? Because remember, the growth in numbers means that people have heard the word. It is, it's not our doing, it's the doing of the Holy Spirit. But if the church is unhealthy, can it therefore still grow in numbers, which means that can the Holy Spirit still work to get more souls?
I see where you are taking me there. Okay. Zama, Pentecost. Peter stands up, preaches that mega sermon. 3,000 plus are converted. There is excitement. This small group has now come to life, right? And they continue. You go on a few chapters later. In the same congregations, Greek widows stand up and they say they are being discriminated. Then you ask yourself, but the Holy Spirit had been poured a few weeks, months before. Why this toxicity amongst the spirit field? So then the leaders then come up and say, look, we have an unhealthy situation. There's a segment that feels excluded and not belonging. Let's put measures to mitigate and deal with what's not working. Yeah, the numbers continue to grow, but because this is a community of human beings who come with their baggage, so and that has to be dealt with concurrently. So for me, that's the joy of church. That it's, I usually explain it as a fellowship of the flawed, where we come together with our brokenness. That brokenness becomes corporate. But the Holy Spirit continues to deal with us in spite of our imperfections. And that's why I think Jesus then said, I have so much to tell you, but when the Holy Spirit comes, we'll sort it out. So that doesn't stop the Holy Spirit from working. I think that's the beauty of the gospel, that you find God working through brokenness to his glory. So I think that should be encouraging to us, that when we see numbers, they are not meant to, I think, to numb us from the fact that there are problems, as much as we celebrate the growth that God gave us, but to appreciate the mercy of God that amidst all this unhealthiness, numbers are going. So I then believe that I think with God, numbers are not the issue.
Now, you know, just on where you are, you're saying that God, with God, numbers cannot be an issue. If therefore, if a church is failing to grow, can we then extrapolate from what you're saying that if it's not growing, then the church is failing? Or
no?
Yeah.
Numbers confirm membership, and for anyone who's in leadership, numeric targets, quantitative indicators are the easiest way for them to tick growth.
Mm-hmm.
If I just look at statistics in the Seventh Adventist Church, and these have been reported in every other GC session and every other annual council,
mm-hmm.
that we lose 4 out of every 10 members, right? We are growing, 22 mm-hmm. million. But consistently over the past 5 or so years, we've been losing 4 out of every 10 walk in. But we celebrate that God is working. But on the other hand, we are bleeding, you know. So I would like to believe that a church may not be growing numerically, because at the end of the day, how you retain people, the discipleship element, what keeps the 99 is important as what drives us to go and look for the one that has worked out. So I don't want us to get into a contest when we then say Church A is not growing, Church B is growing, so Church A is better than Church B. I think numbers are not enough for us to celebrate. And probably that's why Jesus worked with 12. He could have made it 500. He had all the capacity.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Now, thank you for that, my elder. Let's look at the growth of the church. I mean, you mentioned that, you know, during Pentecost, 3,000 were baptized all at once. And it looks like it was a standard issue that, you know, those big numbers would be baptized, which was quite standard. But can rapid growth in membership harm or negatively impact the spiritual growth within the church?
Yes, to some extent, and no, to some extent. Yes, in the sense that if those numbers reduce people into a statistic, then we are just undoing things. I believe the numbers that come with us should be an obligation upon us to then create a family, a community where everyone belongs, everyone participates, everyone contributes. So rather than the numbers being just seen as, oh, we've got 50, but we then see these not as numbers, but as human beings who have been called into the kingdom. Then the other bit of it is we should be worried when we are not seeing numbers. We should be worried, because the gospel commission is about going and making disciples.
It's about numbers.
Bringing them in. It's about numbers. Yeah. So numbers give us the motivation to go, because we then see something tangible at the end of the day. But I believe if we then make numbers our point of celebration, then numbers become the mission, you know, and we lose sight of the idea that when God looks at his church, when God looks at us, what then is of primary concern is to the extent to which we've built a cohesive family, you know, because that is what keeps us going. So the proclamation is fine. It gives us the numbers. But there's much more work, I think, that needs to be done to keeping those numbers. And I don't think we have done much. We've done much around it. And we have sunk into the idea of saying those who don't have numbers are not serious enough. We who are having numbers are better off and are more committed.
Mm.
But the dynamics are different. The context we work in are different. So we don't want to end up saying, oh, if you didn't bring 50, Zama, then you haven't started. You haven't started, you know. Because we might end up being obsessed by making members. And the church is not a club. This is the bride of Christ.
True, true. Definitely not a club. Now, before I let you go, my elder, there's a beautiful phenomenon, some will say, but some will say, well, not so biblical, that of mega churches. You know, people are seeking to build big churches that can house 2,000, 3,000 people, boom, all at once. Could such mega churches nurture growth within their congregations?
That's that's another topic, but okay, let me restrain myself.
Okay.
For me, mega churches, now I'm trying to speak slowly. For me, mega churches end up deteriorating into performance centers.
Mm.
You have got a huge crowd who then become passive consumers. So to keep those thousands, you then focus more on the celebrities, the few talented ones, to get the show going every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not careful, church becomes an event for the majority,
mm-hmm.
and a performance for the few.
Oh, man.
So that's where we need to strike a delicate balance. We can have numbers, but let's put systems in place where we have small groups where people can learn, exchange, share stories, fellowship, and they feel that they are heard. They are not just a number in the crowd. So mega churches, over time, they end up being satisfied with the numbers that they already carry, and focus more on keeping those numbers using probably the wrong tools, you know. And there's so much admin.
Yeah.
So much admin that comes into it. And then you ask yourself, Zama, before I also let you go, why are we existing now as a church?
Mm.
All these systems that we are building, it's to perpetuate our survival and continuity and less of the community around us. Church leaders become so overwhelmed in making the program work, they turn into bureaucrats. They are flat, mechanical, rigid, bureaucratic, because now they have this monster that they have to make efficient. So anyway, the long story short, I am not a mega church fan.
Yeah, but I suppose I can understand that, because at some point you may actually end up being a number, not a member. I think there's a difference there between a member and a number, because you may come to a fellowship place and leave at the end of the service not having fellowshipped.
Not having fellowship, not having given a space for you to also contribute. I'm not talking of contributors and be a leader, you know, but we all come different bodies, different parts of one body, you know. And my little experience in such settings is there's tendency to be biased towards the trusted hands, those we feel can not mess up. So that alone, I think, transforms the church into more of a bureaucracy, more than a community and a family. There's so much institutional baggage, so much church maintenance. Your deacons are now cleanup crew. You are spending so many hours, I'm not talking about church deco and the color of the carpet. You are, there's so much church maintenance around it. And others are just waiting for you to do the heavy lifting. So numbers should be celebrated, but as much as possible, we should then ask ourselves, are the people that make these numbers really belonging
and growing?
Even. And it's an ongoing work that we ought to be doing. There's no one day when we say we are okay. Yeah, so that's what will then keep people at church, you know.
That's a fantastic one. Admiral, I must thank you so much for your time, man. But pleasure to talk to you, and have a fantastic evening.
Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Lovely. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.